welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. In this podcast, we discuss mystical works of literature and how they relate to recovery. We hope you enjoy today's podcast episode.
Hello, this is Buddy C. Welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. Got a good crew today. We have Lori and Brian and Drew and Oscar and Scotty and Steven. Good to have you guys today. We'll be talking about the 44th verse of the Tao Te Ching, how it relates to recovery. If you're new to the podcast, we're all in recovery in some form, and we have found that the tools, some of us are awakened to those tools in a 12-step program. I think most of us are coming through or came through a 12-step program, but we found one common core with that, which was surrender, that we were powerless and that we had to find a power greater than ourselves. What we come to realize is that the power that's greater is the only power, and that's the whole thing. So is where I'm going with it. That's what it seems to be. So we're going to talk today about the 44th verse of the Tao Te Ching and how it speaks to us in recovery. We don't study this beforehand, even though you can go back in the past episodes and listen to where we've discussed it before. We don't get out those notes. We just look at it fresh and see what speaks to us today. Any announcements, go to buddyc.org. Got a lot of things there, a lot of resources, a daily devotion, all kinds of stuff. If you got questions about any of that, just email me from the website there. So we're going to read the 44th verse in a few different translations. Let's start with, Lori, you going to do the Jonathan Star for us?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Verse 44. One's own reputation, why the fuss? One's own wealth, why the concern? I say what you gain is more trouble than what you lose. Love is the fruit of sacrifice. Wealth is the fruit of generosity. Be content. Rest in your own fullness. You will not suffer from loss. You'll avoid the snare of this world. You'll have long life and endless blessings. Sweet.
Thanks, Lord. Drew, you want to read us Stephen Mitchell, please?
All right. Fame or integrity, which is more important? Money or happiness, which is more valuable? Success or failure, which is more destructive? If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you.
Thank you, Drew. Brian, you have one for us today?
Yeah, I've got the Derek Lynn. Fame or the self, which is dearer? The self or wealth, which is greater? Gain or loss, which is more painful? Thus, excessive love must lead to great spending. Excessive hoarding must lead to heavy loss. Knowing contentment avoids disgrace. Knowing when to stop avoids danger. Thus, one can endure indefinitely.
Thank you. Any comments at this point, guys?
I really like Lori's. What translation is that?
That's Jonathan Starr.
That's Jonathan Starr?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Actually, for anyone that's not familiar, I've got this book in the bookstore, buddyc.org. It's the Tao Te Ching, the definitive edition. And what Jonathan Starr did was, it's got, I forget the Bible study book that this is similar to, but he goes through the words and every possibility for that word in translation to every word. And it gives you, you can actually make up your own interpretation, so to speak, by seeing what all the other words could have meant. And that's why you see differences in all of these translations.
Yeah.
I'll reread the star. One's own reputation, why the fuss? One's own wealth, why the concern? I say what you gain is more trouble than what you lose. I was having a conversation with a sponsee recently, and this idea of gain and loss we were talking about. And what I see in this, we're really being challenged in what we're seeking. Am I going to find what I really am looking for in fame? How important is it? Or Mitchell says in the money or happiness, success or failure, which is more destructive? I would think failure is more destructive, but is it really? I've had situations that I am very grateful that I failed, because I would not have found some of the truths by everything succeeding. I can take the judgment off of that. I can take the judgment off of the situation. A lot of times I would think that if I'm doing all the right things, everything should be unicorns and rainbows. But it's not that way. That's not life. So if I can take that judgment off, I can almost stay above it. More trouble, what you gain is more trouble than what you lose. Love is the fruit of sacrifice. Wealth is the fruit of generosity. Be content. Rest in your fullness. You will not suffer from loss. You'll avoid the snare of this world. You'll have long life and endless blessings. See, when I hear words like that, long life and endless blessings, I think about it being a trap. Whoa, endless blessings. Why am I seeing this fantastic deal? What's the problem here? Whoa, step back. Because the blessing's in the acceptance, right? The blessing's not in the outward things being good or bad as we perceive them. Oscar.
Yeah. I like to share something, because I'm really in the middle of this first. It's okay. It's 4 weeks ago that I was here, and I didn't touch the Tao Te Ching in this 4 weeks. And now I come with this first, and I think, okay, there we go. I am in a situation of kind of being kidnapped by a multinational company. And I worried a lot about money and about success and about fame. I worried a lot about this my whole life. And it's really painful when I look back that I was so preoccupied by this identification with success and money. And now I got a commission and I delivered it. But I also had a contract which made me exclusively of them. So now I have to wait for them to commit, to greenlight it or not. And I have to wait, and I'm not allowed to get any other work. And I'm going towards bankruptcy if I don't look for other work. And these days, I'm kind of okay with this. I think, okay, we're going to see what's going to happen. I have a house, so there is, yeah, I'm not going to lose my house. And if I lose my house, I have money. So that's also okay. So actually, nothing serious can happen. Only, and my worry about this, oh, I'm kidnapped, and all these words are actually the voice of my ego, who says you need this money and you need this success to be happy. There is no other way to be happy but this. And I don't believe the voice anymore. Since I started 12 steps, it was more and more, it became more and more clear to me that my ego is an illusion. It's not really a thing. It's just thoughts. And it's really hung up on material things and success and fame. And what is it in the traditions? It's money, prestige, and success, I think. Or ownership, money, and prestige. And they really trouble me. And I have a kind of ultimate opportunity now to let go of this all day long. So I meditate a lot on this, like rest in your own fullness. It says, be content, rest in your own fullness. You will not suffer from loss. You will avoid the snare of this world. You have long life and endless blessings. And I have the same kind of, okay, but is this really true? And how? And then the voice starts. And then I know what to do. Okay, rest in my own fullness. That's the only way. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I don't know how. I don't know what is going to happen, but it's going to be okay. But I've got a full-time job on this because every time the voice comes back, and then I sit down and I do steps, step six and seven all day long. Okay, am I willing to let it go? Yes, please let it go. Okay. So it's really beautiful short verse, which I take with me for the rest of the week, I think. Thanks.
Thanks, Oscar. I translate that blessing. When I see blessing, I think money. I think success. I think all things good. That blessing probably means something different than what I'm interpreting it as being. I think the blessing could be endless blessing, could be endless contentment, because that's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah, that's really. It. I think. So the blessing is in itself.
Yes.
If you are content, you have the blessing of being content. Hey.
And it's interesting that Mitchell says, be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. Not rejoice in what I have. The way things are right now, you can only enjoy that right now in this moment. So if we're content with what we have, is it possible to rejoice in the way things are? Yes. Yes. Oscar, that's a lifelong struggle for me. And it all comes back to me staying in the moment. My gratitude lists help me with that. I don't know if you've ever done a financial gratitude list, just the way things have worked out financially that were beyond your control. The synchronicitous, if that's a word, steps, how everything lines up. I make a list of those things and I keep up with it when it happens and jot it down so that I can come back to it if I need to when I'm doubting it. Yes, that's good. Thank you. Any other comments? Scotty.
Hey, good morning, everybody. As I was looking through this and thinking about conversation I had earlier with my sponsor, the ideas of like gain and loss, success and failure, and sort of that idea that they're two sides of the same coin, that like duality of them. And the common thread between the success and failure is me. Like they're two sides of that coin, but I'm what's in the middle of them. And my judgment and perception of what I feel as though I need or want, the things that I'm afraid to lose, and like where I think I should be going, whether that's in personal relationships or professional. What are my goals? It makes me think about the problem isn't what I'm losing. The problem is me, my ego telling me that I'm not complete. And it reminded me of page 64 in the Big Book. The third paragraph says, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. It's not about what I'm gaining or losing. It's about the perception and judgment I have about those things. Like, I'm the problem. Alcohol wasn't the problem. I'm the problem. So it reminds me to consider and contemplate those sort of things that can interrupt me. That's all I got. Great to be here today.
Thanks, Scotty. Brian.
So I rode the struggle bus to this meeting, and this is what I've been struggling with, really the really my whole life, like that drive to prove that I'm okay. And man, I've really been sitting in a lot of grief and abandonment and just a lot of really heavy feelings the past few months. But anyway, when I read this, I thought, man, like, what a perfect reading for today. But I'm not going to say anything because nobody wants to hear it. And then I start seeing the boxes click off and I'm like, holy shit, there's two of us. Now there's three of us and on. And so I'm just really thankful to be here. This is why I show up. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Lori?
So I actually like the Stephen Mitchell version also. I think you just read a bit of it again. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. And it's similar to what Scotty was saying. It's all in your perspective, man. You're the problem and you're the solution. And it's funny because I read this. I have this book from Eckhart Tolle. It's just a quotes from The Power of Now. I have one also for the New Earth. But surrender becomes so much easier when you realize the fleeting nature of all experiences. And the world cannot give you anything of lasting value. You then continue to meet people, to be involved in experiences and activities, but without the wants and fears of the egoic self. That is to say, you no longer demand that a situation, person, place, or event should satisfy you or make you happy. Its passing and imperfect nature is allowed to be. And the miracle is that when you're no longer placing an impossible demand on it, every situation, person, place, or event becomes not only satisfying, but also more harmonious and more peaceful. I love the God winks when you're paying attention, because that's basically so similar to this verse this morning. And the word that I also grabbed from the Hogan translation was non-attachment. That's where my perspective really gets tweaked, is I'm attached to an outcome. I'm in the middle of a teacher training program for meditation, and I realized I haven't been spending as much time doing the homework, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm, what do they call it, FOMO? Fear of missing out. Holy crap. I'm like, so then I read this. And then I'm like, oh, okay, Joe, you're getting what you're getting when you're getting it, and just be grateful and move on. So I love this group and I love this reading. It's just a beautiful opportunity to reinforce. I need repetition, folks. What is Tony Robbins used to say? Repetition is the mother of skill, or something like that. And that practice and repetition is definitely key for me, because I tend to remember all the habitually not so helpful things that I've been taught along the way. Great to see you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Lori. Okay. Steve.
Thank you, buddy. It's just amazing to me that everything boils down to perception and expectations. Whether it's AA, whether it's the Tao Te Ching, whether it's the Course in Miracles, all those programs concentrate on that one basic concept, how we see the world and what our expectations is. And how can a monk sit on a hilltop with nothing and be perfectly content? It just boils down to that. We set our own expectations on what our happiness is. We set, AA tells us what we have to give away. What the Course in Miracles tells us is all the love and caring that we have to share. Everything has to be shared with everybody else. It's all about sharing and how we view the world and how we view everybody else in the world, and not hoarding it, giving it away, sharing it, and growing together.
Thanks, Steve. Even the Lord's Prayer that's recited at the end of many AA meetings, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We forgive first. There's a good line too in 44. If you look at others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If I'm looking outside of myself for this fulfillment in any way, it's not going to happen. We don't realize we're already fulfilled. Brian?
I like that quote that says, expectations are premeditated resentments.
Yes.
Which is the truth.
My whole problem is, like Steve started, is in our expectations. Because if I'm expecting things, hoping things to be different, I'm not in the moment. I can't experience love. I can't experience God, so to speak, unless I'm in this moment, unless I'm where my feet are. And if I'm looking to others for anything, I'm not in the moment. Yeah, that's good. So how do we become content with what we have? How do we rejoice in the way things are versus rejoice that hopefully things will be different? Because I'm usually rejoicing, hoping things will be different. That's not rejoicing in the way things are. So how do we make that shift? Because that is the shift, right? For me, it started with the steps. It started, the first three kind of framed where I really was, where I really am in this whole process. I'm powerless. My life is unmanageable. I have to believe that this can be different. You know, I make a decision that I want to let this stuff go. Oscar?
Yeah, for me, it also started with the steps. And I also did a Course in Miracles. And for me, the way to do this is with the question, who am I? Who am I for real? For real. And I really continue asking the question, who am I? And I am not these strange thoughts about expectations or money or even memories. I'm not even memories. I am spirit. And when I'm spirit, I can only be now. It's the only possibility. There's no way that spirit is thinking about tomorrow or about yesterday. It just is. And it has no opinions and it has no judgments. And it just exists and is in a kind of, whoa, what is this? This is life. I'm alive. Wow. And there I am definitely content. The biggest pain in here is the voice in my head who says something else, who says, no, that's not you. No, you don't feel it for real. No, you have to take care of the future. You have kids. You have to and then it goes, and then, yeah, I just have to sit down and ask myself, who am I? Am I this voice? No, this voice is a visitor. Or I don't know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what this voice is doing here. But when I go back to my heart and look beyond the fear and look beyond the expectations or the desire, then I am here and now, that's where I belong, and that's where I'm definitely content, and that's where I always can go back. And I think those are really beautiful programs as well, Course in Miracles, as well as 12 Steps, as well as this book directs me, okay, you think you are a human being, but it's not true. And I love that. I just love it. Thanks.
Oscar, you were, there's nothing wrong. We know that there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. I would hope we all do. What the difficulty is being trapped in the future, being trapped in those plans, right? And fearful that we're not going to be able to have the finances we need or whatever the case. That's the issue. It's not that we don't plan. We have whatever the case. It's not as if we just, oh, it's just going to be like it is. I don't take that approach. I do make some plans, but I try not to invest myself in those plans. If they're different, okay, we'll go with what's there. But there's a big difference there. And I think you're hitting it, the nail right on the head with that. Thank you. Steve.
Thanks, buddy. I think some people get so wrapped up around their problems and everything else. I was talking with somebody the other day, and they get a hard time turning it over to God. And so I finally sat down with them and I said, okay, God has your solution. He put it in a FedEx package, and it's going to be delivered in 6 months. Guaranteed. It's coming. Your choice now is to trust in God and decide what you're going to do between now and 6 months from now when your solution arrives. All you have to do is trust that the solution is coming and then decide what you want to do. I think the big change that has really happened with me, and it was, of course, the hardest thing, was really honestly doing step three, that true giving everything over to my higher power was very difficult, because a lot of us try to still at least grab the wheel every now and then and redirect it. And it took quite a bit and quite a lot of situations that developed for me to get into that situation with waking every morning up and saying, okay, God, you direct me how you want my day to go today. And I've done that for the last several years, and things have worked out very well. So I think people just can't understand how well it can go. And I try to impress that upon them, that all they have to have is a little bit of faith and an understanding that things do get better if they give it the opportunity to.
Steve, if I'm working with someone and they have difficulty with that, I can ask, do you believe it works for me? Or someone else that you see in the rooms that it works for? Yes, I see that. I said, okay. Then can you just have gratitude in that it works for them, so I know it will work for me too? I know, Steve, I know you're a student in A Course in Miracles. What do they call it? The eternal present? Is that the right phrase for what
we're talking about? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really what it is. It's that eternal present moment, that wave of the moment that we have the opportunity to ride. Yes. A lot of folks, when you're talking about letting go in the third step, I've been asked, well, what do you let go to? How do you do that? What is it? My friend Don M says, I'm letting go just as hard as I can. I think we mentioned that a week or two ago. How do we do that? How do we let go? Which is basically what the third step is. The decision to let go. We're going to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God, not as you do. The way that happens for me is when I choose compassion over taking actions to protect my fears. When I choose to pray for you because I want this resentment gone, I'm allowing God, love, however how you want to frame it, to remove that fear. because it happens for me by taking action. So if my head's going crazy and I don't know what I need to do, I just, okay, I'm open to being helpful. Who can I help? And someone will be placed in my path in some form or fashion for me to help. We were talking about this in another group that I'm in, that how instead of, you would think as we walk this path further, it would get more complicated. Like we'd learn more things to add to. Like when you're in school, you start with high school, then you go to college, then you get your master's, so forth and so on. You're building up this education, so to speak. But this is really the reverse of that. My experience has been if it's not getting simpler, more simple, then it's probably not the path. It should be getting easier, not more difficult. And mine is just drilled down to the point of how can I be helpful right now? Because if I'm looking for a way to be helpful, I'm not really that hung up on my fulfillment in that moment, am I? Lori?
So you asked the question, what do you do to maintain or to attempt to maintain that space, distance, or snap myself out of it? I journal personally. I write. And that's always been for me an amazing tool to get whatever's in my head on the page. And all of a sudden, all the venom or this insanity or a lot frequently, not always, but frequently, all that becomes a lot more apparent once I get it on the page. And during the day, what I've noticed is helpful. I actually have temporary tattoo markers and I write something on my hand. I need that, like right in front of my face. I have a couple tattoos that I had done. Surrender, listen to your heart, pause to wonder. But it's funny, right? Like once you hang up a picture, you see it every day, you forget it. You don't notice it as much. So I'll use this pen. And whatever came up when I was journaling in the morning, like there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to prove. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing missing. Whatever that message was in the morning that kind of snapped me out of it, I've got that on my hand frequently. And I think from the book, from the big book, the biggest single message that helped me is to pause. Just to pause and be the observer and the witness to whatever it is that's circling. That's where meditation helps me so much because it helps me create that space between whatever's happening out there, what's going on in here, and what reality is. Before I take any action, buddy, because my personal history is to react vocally way too quick. Or with emotions, but get anxious and shut down. So I'm either acting out or shutting down, as opposed to just shut up and notice. Whoa, just notice. I have a piece of art that says, notice, don't think. Observe, don't judge. So those little slogans running through my head are what I use as a mechanism or a tool to maintain some level of sanity and detachment and trust and faith in, during the day. You get to notice that it's working just fine. As long as I be quiet, usually is a good solution for me. So thanks.
Thanks, Lori. A lot of people, if they're a first time listener, as I would have years ago, would say, that's BS. There's no way that everything's okay. And I would ask, this is what I started doing. I learned this from Michael Singer's book, Untethered Soul. I could look back at prior situations in my life and the parts of it that I was so bent out of shape about that were really not real was the majority of the situation. So if I look back at situations, it proves what we're talking about is being right, being correct, in that I get upset about a lot of things that I can't change. I get all caught up in all of these expectations and wanting to manipulate everything to make me happy, so to speak, when in reality, that happiness or that peace and joy comes from my acceptance of things as they are, not changing them to what I think they should be. Now, then I can look at things when I'm looking at them in the moment without letting go of the fear attached to that. And in the moment, I can say, okay, I can apply the serenity prayer. What about this situation can I change? And what can I not change that I just literally need to accept? And when I do that, I can see a lot clearer as to what my part really is. My part's always less different and less than what I thought it was. Always.
Buddy, for me, I have to remind myself that I can either go surrendered or I can go kicking and screaming. But either way, I'm going.
That's it. Let go or get dragged, right?
Let go or get dragged, yeah.
That's it. And this is the amazing thing for me. I used to think that what mattered was my beliefs and how my life lined up with my beliefs. What I've realized is that, and I've seen people let go and apply this program that had no God belief. I have seen people do this that had very traditional Christian God beliefs and all in between. At first, I was like, how could this be working for them? Because they can't check off the proper boxes. Their beliefs don't line up with this and this. So how is this happening for them? And I realized it had nothing to do with what you believed. It had to do with you surrendering and letting go. And like I said, the way I surrender is, you could say I get God involved when I get love and compassion involved. If God is love, a verb, then God is the action of compassion. God's that action. And when I realized that, I said, oh, it doesn't matter as long as I take the action. And I've talked to people who have no God belief at all. And I've told them, no, you don't have to believe in God, but you do have to take action. Go do a kind act and see if you don't feel better. That should be a sign for you that this can work for you. Just do something. How do you feel when you do something kind? Do you want to hit somebody or do you feel some peace and contentment with that? Well, that's the whole point. And it's just that simple.
Like the way the Course in Miracles puts it, that every action is either an extension of love or a call for love.
Yes.
And you can't make it any simpler than that.
No, you can't. Thanks, Steve. With that same thought, if I'm upset about something, a question I can ask is, what am I afraid of? It all comes back to fear. It all comes back to a need for love in our lives. All that's an inside job, right? It has nothing to do with this external. That's why we can see people that are pleased and happy that have nothing, and people that are miserable that are wealthy. We can see all ends of the spectrum. We think, oh, if I had this and this, then some way that would fulfill me, right? That used to be, I used to think those things. I think most of us do. Now I realize that has nothing to do with it because I'm still me. And unless I deal with my fears, I'll still be there. So my fear will be coming out in some way. That's good. Thank you, guys. Anything else before we close? Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize that there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. I will say one more thing about that. When we talk about being content with what we have, does not mean that we have to give up. If we're, say, we would like to be more successful or make more money or whatever, doesn't mean that we stop being open to our life changing, but our job in that change changes. I no longer push for those things to happen. I just make myself available to the moment. And as I do, I see things arise. It says the man of Tao stands on what is already moving. So that way, through meditation, and I know meditation was a big eye-opener for me with learning to notice and be the observer in my life rather than the one that's manipulating and making it happen. Push, push, push. So don't think this means that you have to just give up, because that is actually the opposite of that. Surrender is not giving up. Surrender is stepping out of the way so you can live a fulfilled life. That's what surrender is. Another one of those paradoxes. Yeah, that's good. Anything else, guys? Okay. Thank you all for being with us today. We hope to see you next week.
Hello, this is Buddy C. I wanted to make you aware of several recovery-related resources that I've posted in the episode description. These resources include a list of recovery podcasts, a free sober meditation app, daily recovery email, shared Google recovery calendars. Hope you put some of these resources to use, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends in recovery.